When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast. Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. I'm Ellie Gibson.
Yes, you are. And I'm Helen Thorne. And who have we got here, Ellie?
We've got a very special guest. It's Arabella Weir.
Hello, Ellie. Hello, Helen.
Hi. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Good, good. Why don't you, rather than us just read what Helen got off Wikipedia, why don't you introduce yourself?
I'm Arabella Weir. I'm a writer and an actor. I would say a comedy actor, comedian. Mm. I am famous for doing The Fast Show and for coining the catchphrase, "Does my bum look big in this?" Which I used as a catchphrase for the character in the show. And then I wrote a book called "Does My Bum Look Big in This? The Diary of an Insecure Woman," which was an international bestseller. That's just not in the UK. It's an international bestseller. And I also wrote a show, a spoof cookery show, which I did with Richard E. Grant called Posh Nosh, which I'm very pleased with. And I, as I got older, I started being in things like Skins, which is how you get recognised by teenagers, Drifters. I've worked with all the greats, I suppose.
And all the knobs, I'm willing to bet.
And all the knobs, yeah, all the cocks. And there are plenty of them in comedy, as there are in a lot of industries. And I've written a lot of books, and I'm a single mother of two, I suppose, fairly grown-up kids now, 19 and 21. And I'm fresh, I'm lovely. Mm. I'm a go-getting girl.
Yeah.
Or gal.
You're a gal.
I'm a gal.
Why not? That's good. Let's do it. I'm glad you brought up the "does my bum look big in this" thing, because I wasn't sure if it's etiquette to... I don't know if you're sick of hearing that now.
No,
no, no.
Do people
still shout that at you in the street?
No, not in the street. I don't get that so much, but people, if I get introduced, people will still do that. And lots of people think it's still hilarious to go either... By the way, the answer is yes. I just think, what a...
Rip, there goes my size.
Yeah. And you go, that's original and funny.
Yeah,
thank you.
No, I don't mind at all. It was the thing that put me on the map, and I'm very, very grateful for my bum for doing that.
Excellent.
So, yeah, I don't resent that at all. But obviously you don't want people in the street going, oh, I love, yes.
Yeah, I have mentioned this on the podcast before, but yeah, Henry Winkler says every day of his life someone comes up to him and goes, "Ey." And he's like, well, that's what made him. That's what made him. He was the Fonz.
And also, there are worse things in life than people recognising you for a show they loved, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. So you mentioned there you've got your... So your kids are a bit older. Are they still at home?
My daughter is at home currently because she's in her second year at university, and she's very, very unlike her mother. She's very hardworking. She's very conscientious. She's very anxious. So she is studying for her second year exams at home, because I'm sort of cuddling her, she doesn't like that actually, but cooking for her, the other C, and then she'll go back to uni. So she's not at home really, but she is for the holidays, and my son is at Leeds, so he's not at home at all. And it's quite weird, and everyone goes, oh, so you know all those cliches about empty nest, they're not quite true in a kind of, you know, I dare say when the phrase was coined, it was meaning women in pinnies making bread and going, oh, I've got nobody to make a loaf for anymore. Mm. But, yeah, it's quite weird, but it's quite exciting.
I mean, I'm with one less person in the nest. Surely there's one less person shitting in the nest. That's what I... Do you know what I mean? There's less...
Yeah, but I like the kind of...
You like the shit.
I like... Not so much the shit, per se, but I do like... I came from a big family, dysfunctional as it was. But I, so to me, being alive is lots of people talking, lots of people being around, a house full of people, not a sort of going, talking to yourself alone in the kitchen because there's no reason to utter. Yeah, I mean, but when you've got sort of little people that are doing a lot of shitting and wetting their beds and that sort of thing, you think, oh my God, it's going to be bliss.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I keep going, my daughter's 10 and she's just on the cusp of sort of puberty and getting a bit cunty, and I'm like, oh, eight more years and I don't have to do my hair, I hate you, slam slam, all that sort of stuff. Or, but
what the actual fuck are you wearing? She was, my daughter started that at about 12. I went, don't I say ever again to another woman, what is she wearing? She went, oh my God, I'm like, going to go feminist on my ass.
Amazing. What were you wearing, though? Please say giant sombrero.
I was wearing... I don't say they were flattering. I was wearing a pair of pretty baggy shorts and no bra with a T-shirt. But we were going to the end of the road to go for a walk or something, and I went, oh, get over yourself.
You're allowed to wear shorts. You can wear whatever you like.
No, but no. Of course, at 10, is there anything more embarrassing in the world than your mother drawing attention to
herself? Like you were trying to hurt her with your clothes.
I mean, you're allowed to wear nipple tassels. I rarely go to the end of the road in those, only special occasions where it's very hot.
Yeah, that's right.
And also, yes, you have to consider your children's public image when you're flaunting your own.
Jesus, we better end our career now, Ellie.
Yeah,
considering we've made a career out of gold cat suits.
Yeah. So what tips have you got then? For Helen, you were saying, for example, you're on the cusp of a nightmare, it sounds like.
Yeah, she's almost quivering with puberty. She's about to explode into
puberty. You will get absolutely nothing right. So the only thing you can do is hang on to your own truth. And that sounds a bit sort of like a fridge magnet homily. But what I mean is, so when they go things like, I fucking hate you and stuff, you go... The thing I had a very turbulent relationship with my mother. So the thing I found very difficult is when they're going, I fucking hate you, you're a fucking loser, or what the fuck are you wearing, or I hate you, you fucking ruined my life and stuff. You have to hang on to the fact that that's all an internal turmoil for them.
Yeah.
And that but you still are allowed to say, that's not acceptable. Don't talk to me like that. I love you, but this is unacceptable behaviour. If that's the only way you can speak to me, leave the room. Mm. And you've got to be brave enough to literally leave them with it.
Yeah.
Because when you do things like, you don't mean that, darling, don't say that to mummy, or, now that's enough, get out of the room, how dare you, when you do all that. You've got to understand what they're doing, but also set your own boundaries. I mean, I found the most useful thing was to speak to them like I would to any friend that started to behave that badly. I go, look, I'm really happy to hear about your problems, but if that's how you're going to talk to me, that's the end of the conversation.
Yeah.
And they feel much safer when you give them those boundaries. Mm. So you basically say, I'll stay in the room with you, just don't talk to me like I'm a piece of shit.
Oh my God, that's parenting solved.
Yeah.
I am so good at it.
Yes.
Excellent.
And if you say that, does your bum look big in this thing one more time?
No, she did. She's just about got proud of me because she's in her second year, but she went to the open day of her university for some reason, or was helping out or something. And she sent me a picture saying, Mum, you've made it. And the bags they were giving out, you know, the tote bags with all the, you know, sort of please come to our university, had on them, does my future look big in this?
Oh, look at that.
I know. Get in. Do I see any money? No.
But, you know, you're changing millennials' lives. Yeah, something like that. Now, Helen's written here, because Helen Research is a running order, you're a lover of the PTA. Is that true?
Well, on the internet, everyone, I watched Arabella promote the PTA yesterday when I was doing my research.
Really?
That is very well researched, because that must be quite
old. For money,
old.
Presumably. Was that for money?
No.
Oh.
I am a socialist, and I believe in state education, and I believe that it's very important indeed that those of us with choices and arguably the money not to go to state education use state education, because it's for everyone. So... I'm very aware that I'm more privileged and more better educated than a lot of people, and that I've been very lucky in that way. So me and another girlfriend just decided, well, the head teacher said, can you start a PTA at the kids' primary school? And we went, no. We're both super organised, and we're both quite sort of, you know, roll your sleeves up, get up and go. And so it wasn't a sort of posh girls going, now you here, working class woman, what you need to do...
Sew us a tent.
One of my
favourite... Lovely bunting. We want lovely things.
Oh, no. Our kids, mine and my friend whose kids went there as well, our kids' school was far and away predominantly working class.
Mm.
And one of my favourite ones was a mum said to me, "Oi, didn't you hear that Annabella Weir?" And I went, "Yeah." And she goes, "When you're off the telly?" And I went, "Yeah." And she goes, "Oh, I would have thought you could have afforded private." And I said, "Yes, I can." And she went, "What are you doing here then?" And I went, "That's the point." She went, "Oh, don't get that." basically, and then we were very successful and we had lots of... I believe in everybody helping everybody else, I think is the essence of socialism. So, yes, it became... The only really annoying thing is it turns out that a democracy doesn't really work, least of all in a PTA. You basically need to run it like a...
Dictatorship.
Yeah, dictatorship. Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise those crisps simply won't be delivered for the disco.
Exactly.
And I can't do everything.
Yeah. There's only one clipboard, I think.
Yes, quite.
Because I've given it a go. I did my best. I'm disorganised. I'm creative and lovely and enthusiastic, but I was not good at it. So I spend a lot of money at the PTA events, and
whatever your skill base is.
Because I think I completely agree with everything you said about state education versus private education and all of that. I think Pete, my husband, would quite like... He always says, if you die, they're immediately going to private school, which is a lovely thought, isn't it? That's a nice thing.
What a lovely legacy. Yeah, Pete.
And it's just what the kids will want at that point, to change schools to a school.
Yeah, no, that'd be vital. Well, that'd be a nicer environment. Or as somebody once said to me, but don't you want them just to go to school with everybody who's like you? And I went, no, that's exactly what I don't want.
Yeah.
Because
that's
not where they live, and that's not going to be the world they live in.
Yeah, exactly. So I agree with you completely. I'm also very organised, but I would rather use those organisational skills for non-PTA related stuff. So I find that harder to sort of commit to baking the cakes and putting the tinsel up. And
I'm very fortunate, as my beloved now dead stepmother said to me. She said, people aren't necessarily as socially confident as you. I know I sound posh and bossy, but because I'm not that person, I can rally people to sort of... So it wasn't just me and Jane putting up the tinsel and going, "Jolly hockey sticks, it'll be fine. Let the Somalians in. Of course it's halal." it's fine. It doesn't matter we just sort of went... And also, people know immediately. If you are a posh person telling people with fewer opportunities than you what to do, they'll get that in an instant. But we were all just mucking in.
Mm.
So, I remember a woman telling me that I had to marinate the meat first for a big barbecue event. And I went, "No, you fucking marinate the meat.
Yeah.
I'm bloody doing everything else." She went, "Oh."
Yeah, that's socialism in action there. That's it. You bloody do it.
Now, I was going to just ask, because I think you've got excellent mantras. What got you through the shit? What is your advice for mums? Because we're in the early stages here. You've got a 19...
For parenting or indeed just for life.
Yes, exactly.
This is for life and for parenting.
Mm.
Make really, really good, honest friendships.
Yeah.
Ideally with people who...
I'm going to write this down. Sounds awesome.
Put it on the list.
Ideally with people who've got children around your children's age, but if not... I mean, I've got a very, very close girlfriend who doesn't have children. But if not, people who are sympathetic to the trials and tribulations of parenting. Because it is really, really hard. And when you, which I hope neither of you do, but when and if you become a single parent, it's quite battering. It can be quite battering. And you need all the support you can get. And you will only get that from your friends. They don't have to be women, but they have to be friends. But friendships, I mean, I make it sound like it's not like going down a coal mine, but... You know, they are hard work and they need to be, but you'll get what you put out.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll get what you put in, rather. Put out's a different thing, isn't it? And be totally honest with people. And never, ever, any friend, this is something I've learned, we, particularly Brits, do so much kind of, "No, it's fine, I'm fine, I'm fine." And you might have friends, as I do, still very good friends, but you go things like, "You're fine, aren't you? I mean, you're not like miserable or anything, are you?" And then
don't
you
make
go,
it weird, don't make it hard.
Yeah. And I think it's also having the courage to go, no, I'm really having a horrible time at the moment. Really struggling.
Yeah.
You're not saying I'm struggling forever. You're not saying I'm giving them up for adoption. You're just saying right now, this is hard. And the more honest you are with people, in my experience, the more you will elicit honesty from them and proper deep friendship and people who will help you out.
Yeah.
And this isn't necessarily about, I think it's, you know, we've lived in a male-dominated society for 2,000 years, so it's no surprise that men have an investment, whether it's deliberate or not, in believing that women are all competitive with each other. We're all trying to get off with so-and-so's husband, and I've lost loads of weight so that all the boys will find me attractive. And, you know, in my experience of women, is they don't hate each other.
No.
And that they aren't competitive with each other. And they don't, by and large, believe that everyone, you know, that if you're single, you're now definitely after her husband because he's the best looking man in the room. You might just be talking to him because he's interesting or whatever. Avoid the people who believe that. But in my experience, women make the best friends and the best supporters. And that it, you know, and the idea that we're kind of competitive with each other is a fallacy from my experience. And when you do find those women, they won't be your friends anyway because they're all about being thin and gorgeous and having boob jobs and getting off with a rich man. So they're not our friends anyway.
No.
I think we've found that. We've talked about that before, how it does seem to be this sort of myth that we're competitive because we sort of bonded over sort of competing to be the shittest. Like being like, well, we had fish fingers for the third time in a week last night. Oh, really? Well, I drank two bottles of wine before, you know, they'd even got home from school.
Yeah, and I think, and naming no names, but I think also if you have the misfortune to have had children with an insecure person, there is also an investment, if things are going badly, in them making you feel, I mean, that's typical of all relationships.
Yeah.
Things are breaking down, so they don't go, look, you're great, but you're not for me. They go, well, you're shit anyway.
Yeah.
And if that happens to be around parenting, and I think, I hope it's changing, but I still think with all the fucking recipes and the organic shit and the, you know, I sewed my daughter's costume or, you know, there is quite a lot to make us feel bad.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think it's very important for us to say what I'm doing. I'm definitely doing my best. I'm not just going to, you know, I don't fucking feel like reading a story. Get over yourself. Mm. I think you have to do your best. But other than that, that's all you can do. Or as Winnicott, the first child psychologist or the first person who looked into sort of child development said, it's all about being good enough.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's it. And this is good enough.
Yeah. And it's, I think, perfect. If you do want to sew the costumes or if you're good at making cakes, brilliant as well. Like, good for you. I think, you know, there's a danger of going the other way and being too snide about people who are.
Oh, no.
Good at
absolutely. Yeah. Well, look at me. I mean, if you feel able and you've got that kind of energy to spend all night sorting out the disco and you have friends who will help you do it, by all means. But, there's nothing against those women. I'm just saying, include all women and. All parents that you can.
Yeah, I know. I think because especially maybe about, was that 10 years ago when there was like the bounce back of the perfect mother? When the internet kind of exploded and, you know, beforehand, like when I had my first child 10 years ago, there wasn't Instagram, there wasn't Facebook and all that sort of stuff. So I was like desperately reading all the books. I'm like, oh God, the baby has to do this by month one and all that sort of too. But now we've got kind of a flip side where we've got like Instagram and all that sort of stuff where there is an ability to share both the shit stuff and the good stuff.
I think the other thing is about trusting your instincts.
Mm.
I mean, hopefully you've got good maternal instincts. If you're not... I mean, the other thing is don't have a kid until you're quite happy with yourself, because that's the coal face of feeling shit about
yourself.
That'll
break you. Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, if only everybody did that, we'd be in a better place, wouldn't it? Men and women. But you've got to, nothing will expose you more than having a child.
Yeah.
Expose you to yourself and to your partner and to the world, so... Sort your own shit out before you have a kid.
I did a lot of exposing when I had children. I just boobs out, all the things.
I didn't
crying.
Mean that kind of exposure.
I know. I'm just being silly.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
But I think that's excellent parenting chat done, Ellie. Should we swiftly move to telly?
Yes, go on then.
Tell us about telly, Arabella Weir. You were in a thing called The Far Show, and my thing now with meeting new friends and like moving to the UK, if I say Scorchio to them and literally, you know, explode with excitement, then I know they're going to be my friend for life, basically.
That's a good entree.
Yeah, yeah. One word, I go Scorchio on that.
Scorchio, and they go... What?
And I'm terribly sorry. We can no longer be friends. Yes.
I like to say Jeremy Clarkson. And if they go, oh, yes, then I just close the door. Yes, or later.
You go, Jeremy Clarkson, and go, yeah, isn't he great?
Yeah.
And you go, no, this isn't going to work. We're not going to be friends. Yeah. Let's leave now. It's over.
That's what you should do on your Tinder podcast.
Yes. No Jeremy Clarkson.
Test, yeah.
Yeah.
That could be Jesus Christ. I've just seen a wonderful, it made me laugh out loud alone on the tube. It said... Adam and Eve didn't have an app, but they still met. If you're Christian and single, join Christian Singles. And I thought, almost worth joining.
Yeah.
For the crack.
Yeah. They did have an apple, of course, which completely fucked everything up.
Yeah.
They don't mention that in the post.
All her fault.
Yeah.
You heard it here first. Yeah. He had absolutely no intention of doing anything, but along she comes with her boobs and her apple and her punani, go and have a bit of this. Yeah. He's going, absolutely not. I've got things to do. She's made him do it, and there you go. What was she wearing? police officer. I started out as a kind of proper, in inverted commas, actress. It never felt right. I always thought, isn't someone gonna notice I can't really do this? And my dog is dead. I'm so upset. Surely they know I can't really do this because I don't really have a dog, and I'm only pretending. And then because I was a bit of a piss taker, I sort of met comedy people who'd like be doing acting jobs with me, and then I. Met Alexi Sale and Harry Enfield, all boys, I'm afraid, listeners, but that's how it was in those days. And they all kind of went, oh, you're funny, come and work with us. So I just started doing, like, you know, girl in sketch, not any funny stuff of my own, but I'd be the girl in a sketch with Harry Enfield or Alexi Sale or Lenny Henry. And it never occurred to me at the time, I should have done, but it never occurred to me to do stand-up. I don't think I was brave enough. But then I started working with Harry Enfield, and Paul Whitehouse and Charlie Hickson were working with him. And then they broke away and said, we're going to do our own show, come with us. And I thought, oh, that's all right. And then they went, I said, what shall I do? And they just said, oh, just write some stuff. And I thought, what? I can't do that. And they went, yeah, just stuff. And so I wrote stuff, one of whom was Insecure Woman, which sort of, you know, launched me, and then I did The Far Show, and that wasn't without its difficulties because it was all boys apart from Caroline, who did Scorchio, but then Caroline didn't do it after the first series, so it was just me. And
was it a lot of cockery?
No, because they're all a bit too bright for that. It wasn't so much kind of, we're seeing the tits on that. I mean, you know, they weren't electricians, but so I'm sparing your presence, electricians. You know what I mean. They weren't scaffolders.
Hashtag not all electricians.
Yeah. Hashtag not all electricians are like that. Actually, but let's say I'm going to throw one out there. Scaffolders of yore. You did. You know. Let's face it. It was a scaffolder. To go. All right, love. You don't get many of them to the pan. It took me ages to work out what that meant.
Our electrician is called James. He is actually very nice.
Yes, I bet there's loads of them. You can get a middle-class plumber these days. Ye gods. They're not all UKIP. But, it was just, you know, there was five boys. I mean, you know, we did talk about this even at the time. If the three of us are making jokes, we are more likely to find each other funny than if three men who've just been to a football match are making, then we're going to find them, because it's your, you know, what's your crowd? Not because the jokes are about tampons or anything, but it's about sensibilities and everything and life experiences. And the joke being that I came up with a character called Girl Who Boys Can't Hear as a direct experience, which was another character in the Fast Show, as a direct experience of being in the Fast Show, where I'd done a sketch and nobody had watched it as we were rehearsing. And then when I said, guys, one of them had gone, what do you want for lunch? And I went, I'm literally here rehearsing a sketch. And they went, yeah, and? And yet when one of the guys would rehearse one of their sketches, everyone would be watching and going, it's great. And Paul and Charlie said, because they always had the final word as the producers and the principal, you know, writers of the show, they said, no, Girl Who Boys Can't Hear, that's not going to work. And then Simon Day, one of the other co-stars, said, I think this is us, and it's really funny. And they went, all right, well, we'll do it then.
Oh, for
and
God's
I said,
sake.
So you do see the irony me getting to do this character because Simon has approved it.
Yeah.
And the amount of... they did make a joke. They said, Ari, you know what? That's what people call me. They said, you know what people are going to call that character? Girl Who Never Shuts Up. And I said, don't worry, the audience will get it. And they did. I got so many letters, a lot of them a bit sad, actually, but saying, you know, this was me when I was talking to a consultant and nobody was listening to me. But, so I did the Fast Show and we did the Fast Show tour and I had kids at the same time and it was a lot of fun, but it was quite a bloke fest.
Yeah. I mean, thank God the world has changed.
Yes.
I mean, you sort of changed the world and now...
On my own.
I know, right? Thank you very much. Us female comedians now, the streets are paved with gold. There's female comedians everywhere.
I know, it's so easy. Oh. But when you get one of them on a panel show, that is enough.
That's plenty.
There's one black, one lady, and the black can be supplanted with an Asian.
Yes.
So all-purpose non-white.
And doesn't have to be a lady.
All-purpose non-white, and then a lady, and then everybody else can be guys, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I think that's okay. That's diversity done.
But you're not gonna give me two women.
No.
Or two non-white. Whites are, because that would be like, I mean, what the fuck, we've gone mad. Yes, so I don't think we're there yet, but we're inching there, aren't we?
Yeah. I mean, I hope so. Who knows? trying to be optimistic.
We are.
We
go from being cross to angry. that's about
it. The spectrum.
Yeah.
They said on Radio 4 the other day, she is, of course, a world famous concert pianist, but she was also very beautiful, and I nearly threw it out the window.
Did
honestly.
You?
I bet they got letters.
You rang up.
This is it. This is what I'm saying. I'm very organised, but incredibly lazy.
No,
it's a poisonous cocktail.
And
in
the
many
reason
ways.
You've got to do this, and I always do it, and sometimes they know my name.
Angry from Highgate.
Because if you don't, nobody else does. What I mean is that might be the only every 9,000
well,
women
the PTA,
in Britain would have gone, but
do that.
No, but 9,000 women in Britain listening to that would have gone, but not thought about it. And it was having a daughter and bringing her up that she would say, why is this? Why is that? And I thought, yes, you have to question it every time, and live with people. And trust me, it was like that on the Fast Show. Live with people going, this, oh God.
Oh, I'm basically part of the patriarchy, aren't
You've
I?
You've got to learn to be a pain in the butt.
Can I just say, Arabella is pointing her fingers inches from my... I'm glad I've got
You've
my got glasses
to be a militant.
On for eye protection.
You've got to be a militant. And you've just got to go, or make a joke of it. Hashtag, you know, do a tweet.
Yeah.
Funny to say that, but I'm not... But...
Yeah.
Would they have made such a song and dance if Serena Williams had started crying about ending her career?
No.
And we're going... Okay, well, what are you saying here? Andy Williams breaks down, so what? It's the end of his entire professional life. Why are we talking about it? Anybody's going to go, I am really upset about this.
Do you mean Andy Murray? I don't think Andy Williams was a great
Did I say
player.
Andy Williams?
Yeah, I mean,
beg your pardon.
I love his music.
And can I say I really exposed myself there by saying Andy Williams instead of Andy Murray? Back to exposure. And what I've exposed there is my senility.
Yeah.
My senior moment.
Speaking of Andy Murray, because the other day Helen and I recorded an advert and I made an impression of Andy Murray and sadly it was rejected by the clients.
Probably for racism.
I thought it was the best. Can you give us a sample of your...
Andy
of your
Murray.
Can you say how upset you are about the end of your career, Andy Murray, in Scottish?
Okay. I'm so upset about your end of career, Andy Murray.
No, you're Andy Murray.
Oh,
being
I'm
Andy Murray.
This is going so well, Ellie. I'm getting so confused.
How do you feel that you'll never play tennis again?
Oh, it's a really big bummer.
Oh, so he's Andy, you mean the Andy Murray from Manchester?
Yes. I cannot do
Andy
an
Murray's
accent.
Got a very, very sort of, well, he's from Dunblane. He's got a very, I can do his accent, no bother.
You went a bit Northern Irish, I don't know.
Oh, I'm Scottish.
I feel like the Australian accent is like when you've stretched your knickers and the elastic's gone and it can't come back. It's like that's what an Australian accent does to your mouth, and I can't. It can't be anything else.
Which is useful for blowjobs.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Oh, my husband's thrilled.
There's a very good Australian joke that I heard, and let's face it, we don't look at Australia
you know,
for comedy.
It's a little thin. Yes.
Describe. It was told by an Australian man, and he said, "Describe the worst blowjob you've ever had," and he went, "Fucking amazing." I mean, let's face it. Oh, my pretty thin on the ground.
Yeah. It's a very good. It's a very
what
strong
did,
joke.
What did Lucy Mangan say? Such a big place, but so little to say.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Yeah. Oh, good stuff. I tell you what, let's have some Scummy Mummy confessions.
Great idea. Oh, you go first then.
I used to have a habit that I still have, but it doesn't matter anymore. And it was not to wear any knickers. It just felt fresher. And
so it wasn't a sexy thing, it was just a comfort.
No, it wasn't a comfort. I did do it before I had children, but, you know, you get thrush or you forget or whatever. So one day I'm walking my daughter, my sort of six-year-old daughter to school, and she's got some friends with us, you know, because I'm walking a whole bunch of kids to school, and she just goes to me, "Please, God, tell me you've got knickers on, Mum." And I went, "No, and what's more, no one's going to find out." Get over it. I'm not going to stand in front of Miss Kellner going, "Have you seen her got the knickers on?"
My skirt, but what if there'd been a gust of wind?
There are often gusts of wind, and I just, you know,
she was well prepared. She was well armed.
But it meant so, I was fresh at all times.
I might try it.
You have to wear a skirt though.
Yeah, it doesn't work with jeans.
Not with jeans.
No.
No, you get a rub. Yes. You get a mini.
That's an overshare, Helen.
No. But also, you don't want zips near your pubes, really, do you?
Well, I mean, you're speaking to somebody who wants to set fire to their own pubes. Yes. Why are you worried about zips all the time?
I know. I was an adventurous teenager.
I bet half your listeners go, "Pubes, what are they?"
Oh, have you ever done
No, I think that's really anti-feminist. This whole get rid of all your pubes.
Yeah.
What does everyone want? A pedo? Unacceptable. Our boys going, "By the way, I'll have no pubic hair down there." No.
Yeah. Disgusting.
No.
Yeah. No. I drank too much rum, and when I was 14, and I, you know, I was always an attention-seeking child.
You surprised me.
I know, right? And then I thought I'd do something wacky, and we were smoking cigarettes, and I went, "I know, I'm going to set my pubes on fire," and they just went woof.
I bet they did.
Yeah, and it smelled.
Your foof went woof.
But they're made of nylon.
Oh, basically. I know.
Mine's got a little label saying "Do not go near an open flame."
Mine are like a pan scout. You can't set fire to wire wool, can you?
Very, very dense hair. Yeah.
Like a bushfire, wouldn't it? Ka-ching.
Bang, bang.
Well, there we go. Thank you so much, Arabella Weir, for coming on the podcast.
Well, it's a real pleasure. You're both great.
She's like a white Oprah, Ellie.
Yes, I know.
Aren't I?
Yes. Yes.
Ask Ari.
And what would you like to plug?
I'm going to do a one-woman show at Edinburgh this year.
I mean, are you sure you don't want to call it "Does My Bum Look Big in This"? Because I just, you know, I'm just putting it out there. I'm very good at titles.
It's a super idea, and I don't think anyone's thought of that. And knowing my life, it might appear somewhere on the poster.
Yeah,
it could.
Yeah.
But I think my bum goes with me everywhere.
Yeah.
So, and
please
my
don't
bum
throw me out the window.
For,
yes. Thank you for not throwing me out the window for saying
and
that.
And my bum has paid for its own upkeep, so it's welcome.
Excellent.
Wherever I go.
You know the drill. You can follow us at Scummy Mummies on Instagram and all of the associated platforms.
That's right. And our podcast, please rate, review and subscribe. And you can get all the details at scummymummies.com. And our book, Ellie.
It's still in print.
And you can get that from Amazon. £7.74 the other day. It was
well, if we're doing this, you might as well buy all of my books on Amazon, which are still there. And
it's one of them called "Does My Bum Look Big in This?"
One of them is called "Does My Bum Look Big?" And is still in print, would you believe? But my more recent book is called "The Real Me Is Thin." And it's rather good, if I say so myself.
I know, I regret not reading it before I saw you, because I read the blurb and I thought, that looks like a great book.
Well, you probably should read it for your fat fact.
Yes, fat, fatty, yeah. Bomber.
Oh, and get me on your fat.
Come and see us live. We're doing shows all over the country. Tickets from scummymummies.com. Brilliant. Well, thanks again, Arabella. It's been a pleasure. Have you enjoyed yourself?
Very much indeed.
That seems sincere.
It's been a very good
guest. It didn't seem sincere. It was sincere.
Oh, good.
But I'm going off you now.
And you say you're a terrible actor. I mean, honestly. Thank you very much for listening. Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Shall we do our tedious admin, Helen?
Yes.
Helen.
Helen. I'm very used to recording. Helen.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.